Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
Houston, we got a show.
Go Loopos.
Landry Locker and John Lopez. You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader.
I love Houston. I love the stadium. I love the fans. I just love the atmosphere.
Sports Radio 610.
Boy, I got a to-do list. I got a to-do list today. Your boy's going to paint. Your boy's going to go get a fresh fade. Your boy is going to go grocery shopping. Your boy is going to go run errands. I'm moving, John. I need to get a fresh fade, but there is one thing that I need from my Hispanic brother, John Lopez. I need this for you because I am going back to my Hispanic barber. Shout out to Liz Beth.
All right.
She can fade me up. Sometimes, though, there is a communication gap, and I need
Beth
you.
Liz Beth is back.
Liz Beth is back. And I need you to tell Liz Beth how I want my haircuts.
Okay.
So write this down, and I need it in Spanish. Figgy, I want you to record this. I'm just going to play this for Liz Beth, and we're going to get this
right. Tell me.
Here we go. John, I need you to tell Liz Beth I want a fade, blend it in, little bit off the top, leave the sideburns. Because I cannot grow sideburns because I'm Native American. So I need a fade, number one, blend it in, little bit off the top. You can add some flavor too if you want, just a little bit of flavor. No lines or anything like that. And I need to leave the sideburns because I'm Native American and cannot grow facial hair. Can you tell Liz Beth that? Can you record it so I can just play this for her when I go out there?
All right, here we go. Liz Beth, por favor, si puedes cortar mi pelo. Demasiado, demasiado corta. Lo más corta que puedes. Y puedes hacer un poquito de sabor. Y también corta mis sideburns. Yo no sé la palabra, pero quiero ver como Sean Pendergast. Bueno,
all
okay,
right.
Gracias.
I'm not.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I'm not really thinking you
quiero
did me much
ser
of a favor
como
there.
Sean Pendergast.
About to get a ball head.
I don't think you really did me much of a favor there. But
I did.
Whatever.
Just tell her that. Just record that and play it for
yeah,
her.
Yeah, I got it. Thank you very much. Come back looking like freaking who knows what. But
just tell her that. I'm serious. I wouldn't steer you wrong.
Appreciate
man.
You, man. It's all good. Yeah. It's all good. That's just a little bit of my to-do list. By the way, 104 days.
104 what?
104. That's a Tim Hardaway, Brett Favre throwback.
It's 10-4.
That's a Penny Hardaway / Robert Parrish.
Dennis
slash,
Rodman.
Yeah, you go Dennis Rodman with the Spurs. You go Dennis Rodman with the Pistons, 1-0. And then you can go the 4. Deshaun Watson. If you so choose. By the way, are you sensing this? Because I'm kind of sensing it. Do you think that people are starting to turn on DeAndre Hopkins?
Turning on DeAndre Hopkins?
Do you think there's starting to be some dislike for number 10 around these parts?
No, I don't. What are you basing that on?
I'm just starting to sense that there are a lot of people that are kind of, it's either that they want to move past this, which I can understand, and when the season happens, we will move past it. He did speak, though, yesterday, and he answered the tough questions, but it does seem like DeAndre Hopkins has a lot more haters. So if you are a DeAndre Hopkins hater, I want you to give me a call, 713-572-4610. Obviously, the word hate is used loosely in sports because hate is healthy.
You are a hater.
But I'm feeling like there's some people who think DeAndre Hopkins is not going to be that missed. They feel like DeAndre Hopkins needed to be traded. That's what I'm starting to feel. So let's just, with a little bit of H-Town flair, Figgy, let's open up the phone lines. If you are down on DeAndre Hopkins, you have no problem with DeAndre Hopkins back. We want you to call in. Here is the call right here. Here is the bird call for the DeAndre Hopkins haters, because we are in H-Town.
Where them haters at? Where them haters at? Where them haters at? Where them haters at? Man.
713-572-4610. And you know what? There might be a new DeAndre Hopkins hater, and he's right here in front of you.
You?
There might be. Right effing here. I am considering becoming a DeAndre Hopkins hater. And let me tell you why.
Why?
Because he has a double standard when it comes to the questions he answers.
I know where this is going.
He has a double standard when it comes to the questions he answers.
Okay,
and I'm not happy about it.
You're not wrong, but I loved it. I loved every second of it, to be honest. Are you referring to a certain moment back in the, I was going to say
2 years ago,
in the day, but yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
2 years ago.
When you were eager and you were anxious to get with your guy D-Hop.
Just wanted to ask a question.
And ask him a question.
That was it.
And what did he do?
Well, let's go to yesterday and then we'll go back in time. Let's go to yesterday when Nuke was getting that national shine and he was talking to Jalen Rose and Jacoby on ESPN, and he was asked quite simply, which I think is a good question, are you the best wide receiver in the game? Here's what DeAndre Hopkins said yesterday.
I definitely think I'm the best. I know I'm the best. You know, Mike, my boy, I love Mike, who was chasing yesterday, but he know if I had Drew Brees my whole career, what these numbers would be. Julio Jones know if I had Matt Ryan my whole career. That's my boy. I trained with Julio, too. He know what these numbers would be. So, you know, those guys are definitely blessed to be in a position where their whole career they had a Pro Bowl quarterback that they spent, you know, multiple seasons with. You know, but I don't complain. I don't make excuses. I go out and work.
Okay. There you go.
So he flat out said, he was asked if he's the best. He said, dang right, I'm the best.
That's a good answer. There you go.
And not only am I the best, I had some crappy quarterbacks, and I was still the best.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's what it was. So let's go back in time 2 seasons ago. After the Texans had gotten a big W, DeAndre Hopkins making plays all over the place.
Yeah.
Made a catch that didn't count that was the number one play on SportsCenter. Mm-hmm. So we go back in time to when that exact same question was asked, and this is the treatment I get.
Do you feel like you're the best receiver in the game right now?
Why everybody want to ask me that question?
Well,
so you just want to write a story?
I just want to see
if you think that question like 100 times. Like, if y'all don't know who I am by now, then don't ask me that question.
Fair enough.
Do you feel like I'm the best?
Yes.
All right, well, put that down.
He didn't answer your question like he did yesterday.
He acted like I asked him, like, what if he was wearing boxers or briefs. I just simply asked if he was the best. That was it.
You can't hold that against
Jalen me. Rose asks it, and it works. What's
D-Hop liked you, man.
What gives?
He liked you.
What gives? Nah, it was fine. I got along with DeAndre Hopkins fine, but what gives? What gives?
I think he's just –
I blame all these other media types for the questions they've been asking. I blame everybody else. I'm mad at everybody else, the Mark Bermans and the John McClanes. I'm just going to declare war on all the media types today.
Are you?
Yes. I'm very disappointed in that, J-Lo. Very disappointed. I got my to-do list. I got everything lined up. I'm about to get faded up by my girl, Liz Beth. And DeAndre Hopkins just let me down.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, there are some haters on the text line when it comes to DeAndre Hopkins. There's one on the line right now. Let's go to Mike. Mike, go ahead and express your hate. Bring it.
No, so I'm a half hater. DeAndre Hopkins is obviously top three receiver in the league. I think he's better than Julio Jones, and he didn't have quite the quarterback because, let's face it, Matt Ryan can throw a better deep ball than your quarterback.
Whoa,
but
Mike.
I thought it was a little.
Now you're just getting personal.
I know. It was a little selfish for him to ask for an extension early. That's all I'm saying.
Well, Julio did the same thing, though. Julio did the same thing and got his wish.
Yeah, I hear you.
Well, we're not going to get into the whole extension. I think he's forcing it, but good effort, though.
That's still a hater. He's hating on somebody asking for some more money.
That's true.
It's payday today, man. It's payday today, too, for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, that means a lot. You know, for John Lopez.
Especially now.
For John Lopez, that doesn't mean anything. Like, they could not direct deposit his check. He ain't going to notice, Fig. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But... how long do you let it sit? Like, when you get paid, and shout out to the loopholes that are out there grinding. Shout out to the ones that are like John Lopez, and they don't even notice when they get paid.
Come on, man.
And it just piles up. But when you know that you got to pay the bills, when you know that rent is due in 2 days, when you know that that satisfaction of having that money in the account is only going to last a couple days, do you just let it sit there? Or as soon as you get it, do you just pay the bill and just bitch slap yourself right to reality? What do you do? Do you let it sit for 2 days, Figgy, just so you got the extra money in the account, or do you just get it over with and in reality, face reality?
I let it sit for a few days before I pay it.
You got to look at the money, right?
Yeah,
I want to look at that account.
Yeah,
you know, just peruse it a little bit.
Right. By the way, I'm getting questioned. It's not a good thing to get your hair cut by a woman, 3700, or are we getting sexist now?
Dude, of course it is.
I mean, this Liz Beth fades it up.
Oh,
dude.
That's a barber bias.
Well, I get it.
A lot of people think barbers should be dudes.
No, dude, there are some ladies that can fade up, Figgy.
Yeah, there's some women that could cut.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and especially if she's got a couple gold fronts, then you know what's going on. Shout out to Liz Beth. I know she can't understand me, but tell Liz Beth, hey, real quick. Can you tell Liz Beth, hey?
¿Cómo le ha ido, Lizbeth?
There we go. All right, what were you about to say?
Patillas, by the way, is sideburns. I couldn't remember sideburns. One of our texters reminded me.
Yeah, I just got to say no. Sometimes you just got to say no.
Ya no quiero patillas. Tell her that.
Patillas.
Ya no quiero patillas.
Ya no quiero patillas.
Oh. Yeah, tell her that.
Ya no quiero patillas. Man, you got to trust your barber, though. There's a lot of things that you can sacrifice. You can sacrifice some things. If you got to have a rotation of barbers. I've probably got about three, but... if you just go in potluck, you get what you deserve.
Yeah, you
do.
Last
time I went in potluck because I needed a cut quick, man, she had my sideburns looking like Mark Teixeira. They were above my damn ear. I looked like a cornball. And she was drinking something that was like, it smelled like straight up Everclear. Like, it wasn't, a vodka drinker.
Everclear you can't smell. Like,
you can smell it on the breath. You can smell it on the breath.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, man. It was rough. It was a,
don't ask me how I know that.
Time. Yeah.
don't ask me how I know you can't smell Everclear.
Yeah, you're a slime ball, John. No denying that. Happy payday to everybody. It is a Football Friday here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. The pandemic impact on the Big Three. We might finally, and I mean finally, get what we've wanted for a long, long time. And... increased championship odds and the impact on the Stros. The good, the bad, the ugly, and the what the F of the pandemic. And breaking news yesterday next.
They got it.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right. Big news yesterday. Stadiums might not be empty after all. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has issued a revised order. Not only will pro sports leagues be allowed to resume play in June, but outdoor stadiums will be allowed to host fans up to 25% of their capacity. The key words there, outdoor stadiums.
Yep.
So could it happen? Is this what's finally going to make it happen, John Lopez? Tell me it is going to happen. Is it going to happen?
This is, maybe the term is low-key. This is low-key one of the greatest stories in Houston today. The fact that Greg Abbott issued this order, 25% capacity. We're going to find out, man. We're going to find out. There have been rumors. There have been people that have texted us and contacted us that have worked over at NRG that says, hey, guys, the roof doesn't open. It's just been closed so much that they can't open it. It's going to cost a lot of money to open it or fix it or whatever. There are reports, unsubstantiated, let's be fair.
I've heard a lot.
You've heard it.
It's rusted shut.
I've heard it.
I've heard it's rusted shut.
This is so cool for me.
We're talking about, by the way, the NRG roof.
What if it got open?
I always want it open. It always seems appropriate for it to be open. Other stadiums with retractable roofs are opening the roof. For whatever reason, the Texans refuse to do it. It makes absolutely no sense. We have some beautiful fall days.
Beautiful fall days.
And I understand the comfort of having an indoor stadium when it's cold or when it's blazing hot, but there are so many days. It seems like at least over half the games you could have that thing open.
I think you're right. Probably now, about half the game.
Can it happen, though? Is it rusted shut is the question about the roof. And did it take a pandemic
to find out
for our wishes to finally come true? Because if this continues, whether it can or can't, we're going to see them out there with crowbars opening that up because you're going to need that 25% if that's the rule. Is it going
to
happen?
Or they're going to have to write a big check to get it fixed. It's interesting if these things, and again, we reiterate that it's unsubstantiated, but we have heard that that roof actually cannot open or has difficulty opening. How crazy would it be? What if it can't open? What if? Let's play the what if game.
What if it's so sealed you can't even do it?
They buy giant vats of WD-40. They spray it all over the place, and it's like that screw, you know, that screw that, well, maybe some WD-40 will loosen that bolt. And you put your wrench on it still, then, well, I guess we're going to have to cut it open. What if they spray all this WD-40? They get, you know, players up there, staff, everybody's with two bottles of WD-40, start spraying the little railings. Nothing works. What if they can't open it? Are they going to play at Kyle Field?
No.
They're going to play at Rice?
No.
Well, they got to play.
You can't have 25% of Rice.
Well, that's a big stadium, 70,000, something like that.
Man. Have you ever been there even with a Rice game? Have you driven through that traffic?
Multiple times.
Yeah, you think
that's right. University Drive.
Yeah, you think it's bad. You think it's bad getting down Kirby on a Texans day. I mean, my goodness. But
let me ask you this.
It should happen anyways.
What if they take a hacksaw to the roof of the Astrodome?
And play in the Astrodome?
Yeah, just saw that sucker off.
Yeah, that's safe. You can have 30 feet of social distancing, even avoiding no diseases there.
Well, does social distancing apply to rats as well?
I don't know. I don't have the rat laws in front of me.
What about cats? Do you have to stay six paws away from a cat?
You think there's a lot of cats in the Astrodome?
You got to stay six paws. No, years ago, this has been 6-7 years now, there was a report that up to 20,000 rats and cats live in the Astrodome. So you walk in there and you sit next to a rat or a cat.
Just terrible.
Got to stay six paws away.
Terrible. But it's going to happen, right? Like, they're going to have to figure it out. They've got to figure it out. So we're going to get to play. We're going to get to observe outdoor games at NRG.
Yes.
Right.
Well, assuming the WD-40 works.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's good news. Mm-hmm. To me, in my opinion, that's good news because we've been asking for that for a long time.
Absolutely.
So that is good news. The bad news, and let's pretend that the Astros, if the Astros do not play, there's a lot of stuff that's going to happen. We'll get into that in 8 minutes. There's a lot of stuff people aren't talking about with this. I mean, it's of all the teams that could be impacted and all the MLB organizations that could be impacted with no baseball, the Astros, the impact is second to none.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll lay that out for you. There's also some crazy possibilities that could happen if that doesn't go on. But let's pretend baseball comes back. Let's pretend they get it together.
Okay.
Let's pretend they're playing in June, July, August. While it's great to have the roof open at NRG for fall, holy crap, you're going to burn your ass off if you have to go to a baseball game at the juice box with the roof open. See down the street out there in Arlington while they had to build a whole new stadium for that very reason.
And it wasn't that old.
Will people be so desperate to go to games that they're willing to absolutely fry and burn to go watch the Astros play? Because if this is the rule, they're going to have to open that thing too.
I think this is going to be, you know, I grew up in outdoor stadiums watching baseball, and it's not comfortable, man. And some old-timers here in Houston probably remember, you know, was it Buff Stadium and some of those things, and the mosquitoes as well. I don't know how much of a mosquito problem there will be if the Astros have to play outdoors, but I'm sure there will be at least some level of mosquito problem as well. And what about this air circulation? It's going to be hot. That stadium was built to be open on nice evenings, on nice days, not on piping hot days. But you know what? They'll probably account for it with some of those little misters and all that stuff just to keep people cool, but it's not going to be comfortable. And it is just 25%. You can move around. There'll be a little airflow. Right? You're not going to be all scrunched in together.
You think there's going to be a little airflow?
Yeah, a little, very little.
Okay. We will see. I don't know. It's not a fun experience.
Somebody offered his grinder to help open the NRG roof. One of those, like a pipe grinder. Just take some of the rust off.
I'll tell you what, when people tell you that thing can't be opened, you look up at it and you're like, that rust?
Yeah.
What do we got there?
Yeah, yeah.
What do we got there? It's a damn shame because it's a nice stadium. But 25% capacity outdoor stadiums, that means that we could have the NRG roof opened. Also have the juice box open, which means you'll burn your ass off. Now, the Rockets, big meeting today between the NBA owners and the commissioner. They're trying to figure out how they're going to play. There's talk about them resuming play at a neutral destination, probably at the Wide World of Sports out there in Florida. So Toyota Center doesn't have to worry about these types of things. But Daryl Morey had something interesting to say yesterday. He did a little Zoom meeting with Houston Rockets website, with the TV affiliate. And I want you to make sense of this.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of data that Daryl Morey gathers that you can say, okay, he laid that out. That makes sense. Yeah. I can wrap with
He's
that.
He's a data guy.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But sometimes I don't understand what the F this guy's talking about.
He's opinionated.
I really don't. And I feel like sometimes he makes stuff up. He makes up data just to back up what he says. Here's what Daryl Morey had to say about the pandemic, the delay of the season, and what that does for the Houston Rockets, who are currently the sixth seed in the West, what that does for them when it comes to their odds of winning an NBA championship.
We do feel like our odds have gone up. Our odds have gone up with the trade, and also our odds have gone up with the restart. And because we probably can't call ourselves the favorite, we just haven't played well enough to say that. Anything that adds uncertainty to the system is generally good for us.
Okay.
I don't understand.
I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm confused. So the odds went up after the trade. I mean, they were in a slump.
Right.
The odds went up after the delay. Confused by that. And anything that adds uncertainty is just pro Rockets, and it increases their chances of winning a championship. Help this make
How?
Help this make sense for me.
I can't, because if he's standing there saying because of this and the new format, it's a benefit to us. How? Because he's a data guy. I mean, he's a numbers guy. They use all kinds of win probabilities every night that they play. They understand the probability of all the information they have of winning that game. You and I have talked to them about that. So this does not seem very, math oriented or data oriented.
Sometimes Daryl Morey just reminds me, and I like Daryl Morey. I think he does a very good job. But sometimes he reminds me of the professor you have in college that's smart as hell, has about 675 degrees, but he also has some loony ass ideas when he goes up there in front of the class, and he thinks that as long as he has like a beard and rubs his chin as he talks, he's saying something smart. Like, I don't know how you can Daryl Morey is an intelligent, he's a borderline genius.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
But when you say stuff like this, and you pride yourself in being a facts, data, analytic guy, lay that out for me, please.
Exactly.
Tell me how your odds increase compared to everybody else when it comes to this, because I don't see it. I do think the wild-ass way in which the Rockets play basketball, small ball, I think as far as guys being out of shape, and a lack of flow. Although I do think small ball does rely on flow as well. But I think as far as flow and James Harden, Russell Westbrook coming in, I think that could help, but increase the odds, I don't know. And I've also been talking to some people about the Rockets and, you know, the mindset of the players. And I've talked to some people who know the players. Westbrook is one of the guys that's the most concerned about the germs and everything like that.
Oh, really?
So that's something to keep. That's something to keep an eye on when it comes to like player safety and like wanting all the scientific information and stuff. Russell Westbrook's near the top of that. I don't know how that impacts it. I know he's going to be in shape, but he's one of the guys that wants the most facts and wants to feel the safest. I'm sure he's not the only one,
right?
But he is one of those guys.
And you know, what's to say that any of these other teams can't say the same thing if there's no data to you know, if he says scientifically we play small ball and it's easier, you know, if he has some sort of information to back it up, you know, I might be down with it. But this was just kind of out of nowhere.
Weird. Very, very strange. It's going to be interesting, though. The roof could finally be open at NRG. You are going to fry like an egg if the Astros play baseball. And according to Daryl Morey, the odds of the Rockets winning a championship have increased with this delay. Let's look at the Astros, because could baseball recover if they do not play in 2020? A lot of people say no. And even if it can, the Astros are going to be in a very, very tough spot. There are a lot of decisions that are going to have to be made, some of them blindly, if the Astros don't play in 2020. We'll cuss and discuss them with you next.
No way. They stink.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 60.
Man, the Astros are going to have some decisions to make if they don't play baseball in 2020. I mean, this no season in 2020 impacts the Astros more than most teams. Before we get to that, though, the Houston Texans, we've been calling for it. A lot of people have been calling for it. We've been speculating. We thought that maybe the Texans would add a three-time Pro Bowler to their offensive line, but it looks like now that's not going to be the case.
Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
Per Field Yates of ESPN, the Texans and starting right guard Zach Fulton have agreed to a reworked contract. Fulton was due $14 million over the next 2 years with no guarantees, but now is due $5 million guaranteed in 2020 and $3 million non-guaranteed in 2021. Fulton gets nice security. Houston gets cap relief. So basically, if you want Fulton for the next 2 years, you can have him for $8 million. With the previous deal, it was going to cost $7 million for this season and then even more money after that. So it saves you some money, but it does mean Larry Warford, three-time Pro Bowler for the Saints, will not be a Houston Texan in 2020.
That is the added news, if you will. But it's good for everybody in terms of the Texans right here, because Zach Fulton's contract had no guarantees, and now he's got a guarantee for this year, no guarantee for $5 million this year, no guarantee for 2021, but he can certainly, you know, play on that contract. Texans get their guy, reworked his contract, get a little more room on the salary cap, and then the added point here, as you just pointed out, if you were hoping for Larry Warford, the Pro Bowler, what, three straight year Pro Bowler, the Texans are out on that.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm okay with it. I mean, as long as you save the money. Now, bringing back Zach Fulton for $7 million, which is apparently what Warford wanted, would not have made sense. But, I mean, there were times last year in training camp where Zach Fulton looked like he was a better center than Nick Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's going to be your starting guard, and he can play center if you need him to. He's the one guy on the offensive line that when you say versatility, I can rap with. I can get down with that. And you got all five offensive linemen, J-Lo.
Mm-hmm. He's a starters. Ben Jones type. Remember when Ben Jones was here? Played some center when he needed to.
Roll Tide.
No, he's Georgia.
Nah, they're all the same. All SEC people are the same.
Oh, okay. You're making SEC a race, but that's all right. Ben Jones, he played a little center when Chris Myers was injured, and then when Chris Myers retired, he went to center full-time. He's kind of that. I'm not saying he's as good as Ben Jones. Ben Jones is still starting for Tennessee, but he's in the neighborhood, and I think it's definitely a good deal for everyone involved in Houston, no doubt.
It's a damn good deal. It's a damn good deal. How about me mixing up Ben Jones and Barrett Jones? Just White honky SEC centers just are all the same to me. Don't know what exactly is wrong with me. But if you're just tuning in, Zach Fulton will be back with the Texans. $5 million this year, $3 million next year if they decide to do that. I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. If it was going to be the same deal, then I would have rather have had Larry Warford. But the continuity on the offensive line, you bring back all five starters. First time they've done that with Bill O'Brien. Fulton has had some good times. I mean, there's a reason they gave him $7 million in the first place. They obviously liked him. He knows the system, blah, 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 blah. So Zach Fulton will be with the Houston Texans. And let's be honest, this is the first time, John, since really, I mean, good Lord, I don't even know. But this is the first time when we're trying to evaluate this team during training camp and we're out there at NRG sweating our asses off, which, by the way, I'm worried about show when it comes to sweat in the heat. But when we're out there doing our thing, it's the first time we're not going to have to really – I mean, we'll look at the offensive line, but we're not going to have to say – who's going to win this position battle? Who's going to be here? Who's going to be there? We can focus on the skill position guys. We can focus on the defensive guys. There's really not a lot of position battles. Really, what position battles are there right now? You know who your five offensive linemen are. Darren Fells is going to be your starting tight end. Maybe Kahale Waring, that third tight end spot with him and Jordan Thomas. That's a position battle. You know who the starting receivers are going to be for the most part. You know that David Johnson's going to be your starting running back. You know Deshaun's going to be the quarterback. I think you know who your corners are going to be with Conley, Roby, and Lonnie Johnson on the inside, although that nickel spot could have some competition. I guess on the D-line, you could figure that out. For the most part, you have an idea who your linebackers are. You really have to go deeper on the depth chart. I don't know if it's good or bad, but there does seem to be a lot more certainty as to who's starting or not. Now, ideally, you'd like to have someone besides Brennan Scarlett coming off the edge. I like Brennan, but I think he's a special team slash utility guy. Mm-hmm. He's going to be starting, but maybe Duke Ejiofor and Jacob Martin, something we keep an eye on. But there's really not a lot of position battles for the Houston Texans.
Can I interest you in a stat?
Always.
I will tell you something. This is the first time the Houston Texans will have the same five starting offensive linemen since 2013-2014.
Numbers are hot.
In consecutive years. First time they've had the same starting offensive line in consecutive years since 2013-2014. Our guy, Wade Smith, was on those lines. That's how long it's been. Sorry, Wade, not making you feel old or anything, but it's been a while.
Lopez, he's a lightweight, kind of creepy guy.
Okay, now I'm not sorry. But yeah, it's been a minute, man. It's been a while.
Man, 2013-14, huh?
Yeah.
My goodness. Yeah, Wade was here in 2013. Then he left us. Yeah. He left us for better passage. By the way,
that line in
you're talking about former Titan offensive lineman Wade Smith?
No. I got that wrong. It's 2012-2013.
Are you talking about former Titan Wade Smith?
Oh yeah, did you hear about that?
Heard show
Were you
did,
listening?
Heard show did that a couple times yesterday.
He did
that a couple times yesterday. I'm really worried about my man though in that heat, Fig. I'm worried about
it's
my
no
man
joke,
in that heat.
Man.
My man showing that heat. I'm worried about my seat, honestly.
He can sweat.
Bro, I'm worried about my seat.
What, oh, that seat?
Oh, he going to be sitting in that seat, yep. Yeah.
Is he going to go Cody Stutes on you and break the chair?
I don't know about that, but I'm telling
you. Ooh, John.
I'm being serious right now. I'm switching these chairs every day from now on.
What, you going to make me have that? The broken chair?
No, he need to put plastic on
Not
it.
Not the broken chair.
Yeah.
Like a hood living room?
Yes.
Dude, I stand corrected. I was looking at it wrong. I want to get this right. It's been even longer because I said 2013-2014. Wade Smith wasn't here in 2014.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it was Ben Jones stepped in. So just for clarity's sake, I want to get this right. 2012-2013 was not it either because Brandon Brooks was in 13. It was 20.
John, can you get your stats right?
I'm getting it right.
You can't use my. This is the thing.
First time. Okay, here we go.
Let me just
say
this.
I got it. Shut up.
Let me tell you something. Buddy.
Oh, you're gonna call me buddy.
Let me tell you something, buddy.
You can call me chief, too.
If you're going to use my trademark, can I interest you in a stat? Mm-hmm. I understand mistakes happen. But don't use that. Don't use that. If you're going to get the stats wrong, especially 50 times.
When did you get that trademark?
Just saying. There's got to be a standard when it comes to can I interest you in a stat.
And I am making it correct if you just shut your trap.
It's about time.
Chief.
Go ahead.
Bucko.
Go ahead.
This is the first time the Houston Texans have had the same starting offensive line in consecutive years since 2010-2011. That was Eric Winston, Mike Brizell, Chris Myers, Wade Smith, and Dwayne Brown.
Oh, wait. Okay, gotcha. Is that your final answer?
That is my final answer.
5022 says sweat is a good thing.
Oh, sweat is a good thing, but he...
Yeah, when you're working out.
He sweats, sweats, sweats.
He was sweating in this cold studio.
Oh, my God.
Not when you're sitting down talking. Like, yeah, okay, there's a lot of things that are going to be a good thing. Like, it's good to use the restroom, but not if you crap your pants. Like, there's context for everything. Like, my goodness, sweat is a good thing. The hell out of here. There's a lot of things that are good things.
Yep.
I mean, geez, John, what are we doing right now?
What are we doing? When I say he sweats, I mean, I sweat a lot, but it's a lot. Him in training camp?
Oh, he's going to be screwed, bro.
At noon?
Bro.
You've been out there, Figgy? I mean, it's brutal.
No, it is.
And the thing is, when I moved here, I didn't realize how much I sweat until I moved to Houston.
I like it.
It's a different type of sweat.
Oh, I like it, but it's a lot, man.
A lot. It's a hell of a lot. We got to get my man ready for that. We need to get him some. We need to do like a deodorant test or something like that for my dude. He's got good hygiene. I'm not questioning that.
Yeah, it's not like when you sweat doesn't mean you automatically stink. It just means you sweat.
he just sweats. A little bit. If there is not baseball, Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. If there is not baseball, it's going to impact all of the teams in the major leagues, but it's going to impact the Astros even more, J-Lo. Let me just tell you everything the Astros will have to face if there's not baseball. First of all, they're going to have to decide whether or not to re-sign all three starting outfielders without even seeing them play. Michael Effin Brantley in left field, George Springer in center, and Josh Reddick in right. They're going to have to decide whether or not they're going to sign those guys. Furthermore, the guy that they would probably like to see replace one of them, Kyle Tucker, one of the top prospects who hasn't really turned the corner yet, and you don't feel comfortable with him in the lineup every day. You really don't even feel comfortable with him in the big leagues every day.
Right.
You'll go a year without seeing him, and you'll go a year without him being in the minors. So you'll have to make that decision. That's going to be a tough decision. You'll also have Yuli Gurriel and Brad Peacock as free agents. So you'll have to make those decisions. How do you make those decisions? And there's even more to come, but how do you make those decisions without seeing these guys actually play, OG?
I mean, you do it just based on what they've done so far, and it's a roll of the dice to a degree, especially for Kyle Tucker, right? Because you're gonna have to make a big decision on him, and his body of work is very erratic right now. But that's a really good point you bring up, because it's all of a sudden on the table that this thing might not happen, or at least might not happen for a long, long time, and. Players are saying they want 100 games now. They're not going to prorate any salaries. There are some players accusing Major League Baseball of using this as a way to break the union. So when you start talking about that from your rank and file, it's going to be a long fight to get this thing settled.
It's going to be a long fight. You're going to have to make decisions on your starting outfield. You're going to have to decide about Yuli Gurriel, who's older. And a lot of times, guys, Yuli's age kind of fall off the cliff. You're not going to be able to evaluate that, so you're going to have to make those decisions. That's basically the middle of your lineup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brantley's in the two-hole, Gurriel's fifth, Springer's first. Like, that's a big part of your lineup that you're going to have to decide on blindly. You're also going to have to evaluate replacements and other free agents blindly, and this is assuming that there is no baseball. And there's more, John. There's more that's going to happen if the Astros don't play ball. The top two guys in their rotation, Justin Verlander and Zach Greinke, they're going to be in the final year of their deal.
Yes.
As would Roberto Osuna, Lance McCullers, and Carlos Correa. So your closer, your top two starters, your top three starters if you count McCullers, your top three starters, Osuna, and Carlos Correa will be in the final year of their deal if they don't reach a deal. And you wouldn't have gotten to watch them the year before.
How many contracts altogether did you just list there? It's
five after
the outfield.
after the outfield, they'll have 1 year left. But
the Astros are not in a, you know, they're not alone in this. A lot of teams are going to have to make those decisions.
But your whole starting outfield is crazy.
Exactly.
With your top prospect waiting in the wings and you wouldn't get a look at him?
They're a contender. They are obviously, it's an entire unit in the outfield. And I'm just going to be honest here. I think the Astros all of a sudden realize that a lot of their players, whether they like the attention or not, benefited from the cheating. So are the Astros themselves?
Oh, wow.
Well, of course they did. Oh. I mean, players have said it. Former players have said it.
Of course you benefit from it.
Carlos
Correa said it himself.
Even the Astros themselves might be going, I wonder if that, yeah, you know what I mean?
That is true. You wouldn't get a look at them. Another thing that would happen if there's no baseball this year. So you've got to make the decision about your starting outfield. You got to think about what you're going to do with Kyle Tucker. Zach Greinke, Verlander, McCullers, Osuna, and Correa would be in the final year of their deal in 2021. Assuming that baseball comes back then, A.J. Hinch would be eligible for hire. You could hire A.J. Hinch if you wanted to. The suspension would be over. The suspension counts whether they play or not.
My take.
What do you do? What do you do? What do you do, owner Crane?
I've said it from the start. I would absolutely. I mean, hey, thank you very much, Dusty. We love you so much. Here's some toothpicks. We're hiring A.J. Hinch back. The end. Hire Hinch back. He's clearly was involved, but not an organizer, and obviously very, very. I know I always get people pushing back on this, but he seemed to be somewhat of a reluctant, you know, contributor. And I think, hey, the Major League Baseball told him how long to sit out, and the time would be up. Bring him back,
man. The backlash wouldn't be as big a deal with it's not really a strike, but I think if stuff had gone normal and then they, like, the season had played out, let's say we don't deal with the pandemic, 162 games, boom, and then you bring back A.J. Hinch, I think there'd be backlash, and there will still be teams criticizing the Astros and organizations and media types and whatnot for bringing back A.J. Hinch immediately, but I don't think it would be as intense if there was no 2020 season. So I think it would actually make sense. I think it would make a little bit more sense, OG.
I think it would. I'm. How much are you starting to worry about the Major League Baseball season?
Like, not much.
Not much.
Not much. I think they're gonna. I think they know they have to get it done. I think the owners are kind of gutless at other times. I think they're basically at the mercy of players, and I do think the owners are taking advantage of the situation. I really do. Like, I think I know that a lot of people will look at the situation and say, well, these guys are going to make this much money. No, that's fine. Like, I get it. Like, they should take pay cuts. They know that.
They know
but
that.
But I think the owners are taking advantage of the situation. I think they really are.
I think that's the problem. I think that's why, if I had to put a percentage at it, I think the animosity between players and players' agents and the Players Association and owners, that divide has grown bigger, right? I think they feel like the owners are trying to break the union with this, taking advantage of the pandemic, if you will, is what some players have said, some agents. I also feel like owners, I mean, they're losing a lot of money, or they're not going to make a lot of money, put it that way. And the players feel as if, why are we having to float you? You know, we're willing to go to a certain point, and now you're asking for more. That was Major League Baseball's biggest mistake. They asked for something, and then they said, "You know what? Look, let's ask for a little more."
If you want to stick them on the table, stick them on the table when you're having the other labor negotiations. Like, don't wait till there's a pandemic and all of a sudden, oh, we got to get this, we got to get that. Like, you're gonna have to take it on the chin, billionaire owners. You're gonna have to take it on the chin. Yeah. Players are gonna have to take it on the chin too. But I feel like they're overstepping their boundaries a little bit. I think it's a little bit ridiculous. I do think pay cuts are necessary, but the owners are going to have to take it on the chin. They're going to have to. Because the players are going to be the ones that criticize. But in the end, regardless of whether it's players, owners, and I don't like getting into labor negotiations. I just want to watch baseball.
Sometimes they're important. Sometimes they're tiresome.
They're important.
This one is important.
But I just want the end result.
Yeah. No, I think this one is important. Just because baseball has gone from, wow, you're doing great, to, man, you might not even have a season, and that could kill you, or at least set you back a long way. And If I were to tell you that there is a 25% chance that baseball will not be played in 2020, would you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I said there's a 25% chance, but I think 75, 3/4.
That might be where I'm landing heavy on this.
I'll say this, like, as far as labor negotiations and like the actual details, first of all, it's hard for people to relate to them, but I equate it because there's a lot of binge watching going on with the pandemic. A lot of people staying at home, Netflix. My gosh, who knows what the streaming numbers are? You know how a lot of times there's a crappy movie and you don't necessarily want to watch the whole thing, but you don't just want to punt on it. So you decide you're going to fast forward to the end. You go to the lightning part of the fast forward, and you go to the very end with like 3 minutes left, and you want to see the end results, but you don't necessarily care about the hour and a half in between. That's how I feel about labor negotiations. Just get your ass on the field, please.
I mean, I'm there with you, but begging, I'm saying you can't ignore what's going on there.
Begging you guys, get on the field. Damn it, Altuve, I need you out there. I need you out there, Bregman. I need you out there, Correa. I need you guys out there. I don't want to live in a world where it's possible that I've seen George Springer and Michael Effing Brantley play their last game as an Astro.
Yeah.
Game 7 of the World Series. Who would have thunk it could have been the last time that we saw Gerrit Cole, Michael Brantley, and George Springer in Astros uniforms? If they don't get on the field this year, that could be a possibility. 713-572-4610. If you want to get in, DeAndre Hopkins made national headlines yesterday. He was asked straight up what went wrong between him and Bill O'Brien. He was also asked about the impact his departure has on Deshaun Watson and many other things. We'll hear from Nuke next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker. Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
All right, a lot of people wanted a three-time Pro Bowler in town. Not going to happen, in the words of John McClain. Larry Warford, recently released by the New Orleans Saints, will not.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.